West Papua. Pristine land. In the Western Pacific Ocean. Ancient culture. A world of wonders. Mysterious and magical. The life of a tribe in sync with nature. West Papua's archipelago. Extremely rich sea life. Adorned with emeralds of islands. Sprawling protected in front of the coast. The richest marine biodiversity in the world. Home to majestic phantoms of the ocean. Life in an amazing setting. Where Makarero greets guests. An amazing sea adventure. The best of fish. And travel in style and comfort. Is always only a short trip away, always reminding us life is beautiful. Amazing cultures and lovely sea. West Papua, wonderful.
Tak mungkin ini tetap bertahan. Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Welcome to VOI Talk from Voice of Indonesia that you can listen and even watch on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App Channel VOI, and also RRI Net on rri.co.id or UCTV for RRI Net viewers. And we're also live on YouTube channel VOI Official. With me, Rahma, presenting you today's VOI Talk. We are talking about sustainable tourism, precisely in North Maluku, as we are wrapping up 2024, welcoming 2025. Indonesia is paving the way for a brighter tourism future, from preserving iconic destinations to promoting sustainable travel. So to find out more about this type of tourism, precisely in North Maluku, Indonesia, joining us on today's VOI Talk, founder of bengkelpulau.id, Rivaldi Agani. Hello, Rivaldi.
Hello, Mbak. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. What about you?
I'm great, but it's quite a rainy outside, so it's warm still.
It's rainy. Ah, okay. Here, it was rainy like in a couple of days, but now it turns out to be kind of hot. So, really unpredictable.
Yeah.
But hopefully it doesn't hamper tourists to come to Indonesia to enjoy the charm of Indonesia, right?
Yeah.
So talking about tourism, like what I said before, we like to address the issue on sustainable tourism. Maybe our listeners and viewers doesn't have deep insight yet about sustainable tourism. So could you please share your insights about it?
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Talk about sustainable tourism, because I'm really passionate in sustainable tourism. Talk about sustainable tourism, it's something actually shifting. You know, like it's a phenomena of mass tourism. So people nowadays are shifting to sustainable tourism. So they behavior change, they mind change, the way they need to like giving the best impact, like giving something good for the impact, like for the environment, the economy, as well as the local people, society in general. So sustainable, there are actually terms, we call it regenerative tourism, which is on top of the sustainable tourism. So now the government of Indonesia wants to achieve the regenerative tourism, but it's a long way to achieve the regenerative tourism. Because we need to like through the sustainable tourism. So sustainable tourism is a type of tourism that benefits the local community, economy, and also the environment. So there are three keywords in sustainable tourism: economy, people. We call it three P, like planet, people, and prosperity. So Yeah, it's economic, social, and as well as the environment. So that's how to understand it. Sustainable in a way, like in a simple way.
Planet, people, prosperity. Three P's. Really interesting. But how's the real implementation of it in tourism?
Yeah, of course, like we talk about sustainable tourism, it's in concept, it's really great to hear, it's really good to feel, but then when it comes to implementation, of course, like, I would say that we are still far away from sustainable tourism. We see Bali as the center of tourism sectors in Indonesia, also now facing the challenge of how to, like, you know, becoming sustainable tourism for a massive tourism. So now the implementation in North Maluku, I would say we're going to that. Because right now, like compared to Bali's main economy, they rely on tourism, while us here in North Maluku, we're not really relying on tourism, so we don't have that much tourists come to Bali. But yet the problem is still the same as Bali. Like, we're now facing the environmental challenge, as well as Bali, of course, it's something that still we haven't finished, like, solved, like, we haven't solved it. So in North Maluku right now, even though sustainable tourism, like, tourism is not our main income, like, main sources of income, but then we still face the environmental challenge. It's really related to the sustainable tourism, like, you know, like, you have a lot of, like, access under the water. So when people, tourists come to Indonesia, when tourists come to North Maluku, they see, they're not satisfied. On the other hand, like, they satisfy, but then when they see the reality that still plastic pollution is everywhere, they begin to, like, protesting, like, why is it here? Like, why the plastic is so, like, they really complain about the cleanliness of the attraction, cleanliness of the destination. So we're really still far from the sustainable tourism, so our country, the reality.
Okay, yeah, hopefully there will be more specific implementation, like what I got information here, for example, in Borobudur, a UNESCO World Heritage Site, visitors are required to wear certain sandals to protect the temple stones, supporting local artisans as well. Like you said before, it saves planet and even boosts micro, small, medium enterprises through the product like that. What about, in your view, about the specific difference, what distinguishes sustainable tourism compared to other types of tourism?
So like tourism, sustainable tourism, again, it's a must right now. So it's different, like we categorize as a massive tourism. As you said that right now the government implemented, so when we come to visit, like we're stepping on the temple of Borobudur, we need to wear sandals, right? And that sandals produced by the local people, which is they also got in pay, that's the sustainable tourism. Well, what's happening in Bali is that we cannot, you know, like in Borobudur, they also like manage to you know, to limit deficits, like limiting the visitors is a good way to implement the sustainable tourism. So in Bali, right now, because I'm studying tourism in Bali, so I would also see sustainable tourism from Bali's perspective. And I would say that in Bali, we're not limiting the tourists. So the tourists is like everyone can come. But if you limit the visitors come to Bali, and then of course that's gonna be a great way to get impacted. We can also higher the price of the travel package, for example, if you limit the visitations, and also like give a change to the local. Like if you limit, then the local need to be trained how to, package their product uniquely. So, it's different actually, like tourism. There's a lot of type of tourism, I think, like marine tourism, and then wellness tourism when it comes to like yoga, that's what we call wellness tourism. Sport tourism, of course, like fishing and also running, that counts as a wellness tourism, but that's still sustainable tourism. What differentiates sustainable and massive is that massive, we didn't consider about the environmental degradation. We open the destination for all without considering that like it's gonna be impacted to the local, it's gonna be impacted to the environment, as well as it's gonna be impacted to the community itself. So to differentiate it's all type of tourism sometimes included in sustainable, depending on how they manage the package, depending on how they manage the product itself. When they get involved the local community, then we call it sustainable tourism, as it gives more chance to the local community to improve their product.
And in your opinion, to what extent sustainable tourism can reduce the negative environmental impacts of tourism?
What was it?
How can sustainable tourism reduce the negative impacts of environmental impacts of tourism?
Talk about how, of course, it's a big work, I think. Like, both we need to work together, work hand in hand with the local government, with the social enterprises, with the community, with the youth, with the everyone needs to get it around and hand in hand working on sustainable tourism. But I think what was the question again? We need to apply the method, we need to like take the impact. For example, like me personally, as a sustainable enthusiast, I would say, I covered myself again, asking that, is it impactful? So, like, better choose something impactful. I mean, for example, like, if you travel, there are three options for you travel. The plane, and then train, and then public transportation. Choose transportation that gives less to the environment. For example, like if you can choose train, then why plane? Just it reduces like it products a lot of carbon, and then for the environment. So I think, and also like nowadays the company, for example, like in Bali, I also work in Bali, and one of the pillars. So we implemented the waste management, I would say. So that is how waste management. So we hire people, we pay them to collect our waste. So we manage them, we independently manage them, and then we pay for the local people to take our deserts, and that's what we do. And of course, it's also important to like telling people, educate locals. Sometimes the locals, they don't know, like the locals don't know. So that's, I mean, a lot of things need to do to educate locals. Nowadays, I'm facing with difficulties. Just we've been doing beach cleanup. Beach cleanup in our destination. We clean under the water. But then still when rain comes, and then we got a test from everywhere, like it was plastic everywhere around the destination. I think that's
okay. Talking about waste, FYI that today, February 21st, is commemorated as National Waste or Garbage Care Day. So it's a very appropriate day to do cleanup.
Yeah.
So related to the topic sustainable tourism. Okay, we will talk more about sustainable tourism, especially in North Maluku. But we have to take a break for a while after this next song. So stay tuned on Indonesia Today. Tuning in on Indonesia Today, precisely on VOI Talk about sustainable tourism in North Maluku with the founder of BengkelPulau.id, which is a community aims to achieve sustainable regenerative tourism based in North Maluku. We still have Rivaldi Agani joining us.
Hello.
Back on VOI Talk. So we just talk about how to involve people, making sure to realize sustainable tourism. And what about that you are doing in the community BengkelPulau.id? Can you tell us about it?
Okay. So it's actually coming from, the background is coming from, is it important to taking care of the natural resources? Because in North Maluku, of course, we have a lot. We have beautiful beaches. If you have the chance to come to Bali, to come to North Maluku, please let me know, because I'll show you around how beautiful our island is. But then still, it's not in line with the quality of human resources that we have here in North Maluku. So it is why people like begin littering, and then people, you know, they didn't care, because this is, we live closely with the nature, right? So we need to protect the nature, but majority of the people here, they didn't care. They don't care. They just doing littering. So that is why my team and I you know, my team and I, we are developed this community. So we have main for main program, beach cleanup again is we also offer the tour guide, right? Like a tour guide tour package. But when the company tourists coming to destination in North Maluku, they're complaining. So we have more like, what should we do? We try to approach the government, but then it's just until talk. I mean, our voice is heard, but they didn't take actions on that. So we're taking actions since then. So we're doing this cleanup. So we're focusing on the tourism destinations. So like beaches and then ports, because we have a lot of ports here. And also we are doing educate, because action cleanup is, it's not enough if you don't educate the locals. So we begin to like majority of the member here in Decathlon, we are from tourism. We already graduated from our studies, masters in tourism. So we go to like a local university. We collaborate with the local lecturer to conduct the education. So we have both online and offline education. Online education, we are doing seminars. So we invite international guests from around the world to talk about their like opinion, their perspective on sustainable tourism, what should we do here in Indonesia compared to their country. And also we are doing offline, because we go to like school to schools. We are doing training, so we train a lot of tour guides. Yes, having like we have limited tour guides working, so we often the training to how, yeah, so we train them how to be a tour guide, but specifically eco tour guide. So we train them the value of sustainability. And the last, we are doing promote and selling tour package. So like if everyone come to, if they want to come to Ternate, of course we have package. Like we have open tree. If you want to go to mountain, of course we can arrange it with you. And yeah, we're focusing on international tourists as well as the national tourists. So marine tourism as well. So they're really open. But our focus is, by selling the tour package, we hope that we make a lot of, change to get involved in the local community. So once the tourists buy our package, we call the local to like work with us so they get infected, like they have the job. And like being the tour guide, that's how we like get back to the community. So they have the work.
Wow, what a great movement from the community. How's the response of the local people?
So far the local people, they are very positive in responding our missions. And some, we also work closely with the local community, because some destinations is located in the local village. So we need to work closely with them. So they're very open for all like good movement, they support. But then of course it's just support. Like we need more support from the government, but we're not waiting for the government. We work on ourselves. Like we move day by day. So, but yeah, the local community, they are very welcome us to work closely together.
So, you think what are the challenges to realize this sustainable tourism, particularly in North Maluku, and how to overcome the challenges?
Yeah, so I would say that there are two things that really impacted to the implementation of sustainable tourism. The first one is the human resources, as I said, that is really important. As Indonesian, we call it SDM rendah. That's really impacted. Like people begin to literally, that's because of lack of, like we have lower human resources. the quality of human resources here in Maluku is lower. So people begin to littering. That is our main concern right now. So we're doing education, like education. That is just to educate so the local community aware. So when, once they're aware, of course, we are easily manage our destination. And I would say the other thing is that political issues, it's really impacted. Political decisions, political issues, because tourism, of course, is another sector that rely on politics, and politics, of course, like, it's everywhere. So I think that is the challenge right now, because, for example, like, I work with this government, but then it's finished. I mean, the government is, like, the year is finished. So I need to, like, having another, I don't know, like, political things, yeah. Okay, that's the
show. Yeah, but with collaboration, commitment, going hand in hand, we keep optimistic that we can realize sustainable tourism in Indonesia, including in North Maluku, right? Okay, so a final statement to our listeners and viewers about sustainable tourism in Indonesia, especially in North Maluku. Maybe they are happening to be in Indonesia or having intention to go to Indonesia.
Yeah, so the aims of Bengkapulo, we put .i in the back of the name Bengkapulo because we want to expand, of course, throughout Indonesia, across Indonesia. So I would say that tourism sustainable practitioner, all youth, let's hand in hand be like work forward to our new, like protect our environment, protect our natural resources, because Indonesia is rich. So all we need to do is just protect. So let's collaborate together and then, yeah, and learn, I don't know, positive things.
Okay, Rivaldi, thank you so much for sharing your insights about sustainable tourism in North Maluku. Keep up doing the good work. Hope your struggle, your fighting to realize it will run well.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, AI, for providing this lovely platform. It's an honor for us from North Maluku especially, so it's an eye on them.
Yes.
I can see you virtually, but...
Yeah, hopefully we will meet in person one day in North Maluku.
Yeah, hopefully. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah,
have a good day.
Thank you so much.
Well, listeners, that's today's VOI Talk, Sustainable Tourism in North Maluku, with Rivaldi Agani, founder of Bengkelpulau.id, the community that is concerned about sustainable tourism in North Maluku. We'll be right back, so stay tuned on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Music, dance, art performances from Indonesia and abroad, only on The Session. Every Saturday, 9:15 Jakarta time, only on Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia is the most beautiful land in the universe. The land where we were born. The nation where we grew up. So many colors that live together in peace. With a million timeless treasures. With an abundance of natural wealth. Indonesia is not just wonderful. Indonesia is a wonderland. Kota baru, kota mega, mega, mana suci, mana kau.
for joining us on Indonesia Today, only on VOI and RRINN.
Pura-pura diam dengan sedikit gerak perlahan.
Jadi
move on with the groove.
Everybody yo,
move on with the groove.
Cuma saja diam berdiri, nanti sampai rumah malah pengen denger lagi.
Lagi, ya terus saja.
Jika begini jadi ingat usia senja. Jika lo kau nanti lebih tinggi dari raja,
nikmat hidup dengan pelangkon di kepala.
Memang tak lebih hebat dari pengawas solo. Apalagi jika kau dengar alunan gesang. Sampai pelitong ayam dengar jangan pano. Lebih baik kita semua ikut
bergerak.
Gentok, a traditional dish from Cirebon that has been famous since the 17th century. It features a rich spice broth that is truly tempting. The word empal means beef, while gentong refers to the large pot used for cooking it. The beef is slowly cooked in a broth rich with spices such as turmeric, ginger, and lemongrass, creating a savory and slightly spicy flavor that delights the taste buds. Empal gentong not only offers tender meat, but also a culinary tradition passed down through generations, with each spoonful reminding us of the warmth and enjoyment of the past. Typically served with rice or lontong, this dish is often accompanied by sambal and crackers to enhance the experience. More than just a meal, empal gentong is an unforgettable taste experience. Enjoy its deliciousness and feel the authentic flavor of Cirebon.
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile. Kindness and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand up with me. A nation with a goal. And for me, a fight and sound. With a beautiful nature.
RRA Digital with new look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as live comments and share, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital. Available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
Dari setetes racun seperti butiran embun di permukaan daun, menceritakan banyak hal dari ratusan pantun. Buang pedoman untuk tentukan mana buruk mana santun. Meskipun jatuh dari angkasa, partikel hidrometeor sentuh bumi basahi jiwa. Jadi air ini punya tujuan ketika turun, memberi harapan di setiap tetes mengalun. Ini waktu yang tepat untuk kita bertemu, saat air langit menutup jejak rindu. Basah meredam karena gagal tupan, emosi yang terjebak sejak langit lupa akan bumi saat hujan. Apa kabarmu? Lesu roman bersinar di lidah yang kaku, bahagia mengalir di deras. Air yang turun menyamakan air mata yang telah lama mengalir.
Tumbuh berbunga, harum dan berwarna, karena kau hujaniku. Ku tumbuh dewasa dan tambah percaya kau hujaniku.
Here is Newsline. Profit from Indonesia's Danantara Fund projected to reach $25 billion. Now the news in detail. Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, chairperson of the Indonesian National Economic Council, believes that Indonesia's sovereign wealth fund Danantara has the potential to generate profits up to $25 billion, or about 400 trillion rupiah, at an exchange rate of 16,340. Luhut Panjaitan claimed that Danantara is a strategic initiative by President Prabowo Subianto. He revealed that the United Arab Emirates is ready to invest $10 billion in Danantara, specifically for the development of new renewable energy sectors. He clarified this investment will be structured through a joint venture arrangement. Moving on to the Indonesian Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency that issued an early warning of high waves that potentially occurred in several maritime areas in Indonesia until February 23, 2025. This includes those caused by Cyclone 99S in the Timor Sea, southeast of East Nusa Tenggara. The agency's forecaster, Abdullah Akbar, stated, Cyclone 99S trigger high wind speed and wave height. The highest wind speeds are observed in the southern Indian Ocean off East Nusa Tenggara. That was Newsline from Voice of Indonesia.